First Corinthians and 4. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. First Corinthians 4. I shared this yesterday, and I'm just going to run through it again. I know you must have seen it on my Facebook, and I rarely share my notes like that, but I just wanted people to read it and see it. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. I'll start from 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. The word faithful is the same word for faith, pistuo. It means to be reliable, to be trustworthy, faithful. Now, we often say God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 30 says God is faithful. He is faithful. We say that. You know why? Because he's reliable. What else? He's always available. He doesn't change his commitment. He doesn't change his word, in spite and despite. That is why faithfulness is also called loyalty. And loyalty means to be committed to a cause 100%. To be committed to a cause 100%. So Paul is saying, it is required of a steward. You are a steward that you be found loyal. Loyal to what you are doing. To be faithful. To be found loyal. I look at Ruth and Naomi. When Ruth told Naomi, he said, my God shall be your God. My people shall be your people. Wherever you go, I go. She wasn't looking for anything. That's faithfulness. There's a difference between faithfulness and ambition. And one of the ways you know whether you are faithful or you are just ambitious is if your desires are not given you. They are not given to you. And there are people who join a church or join a place so that they can rise through the ranks. So they will be acting faithful. The way you will know that they are not, any little alteration, they will change. That means they were never faithful. So faithfulness has nothing to do with the circumstance. God gave his word, but look at what he walked through before he died on the cross. It was a lot of negativities. Extremities. Faithful men don't bark under pressure. No. He's faithful. Reliable. No excuses. We find Elijah and Elisha. Elijah didn't know what was going on. He just followed Elijah faithfully. Now, some historical facts says Elisha came from a wealthy family and he probably was older. So he served him. He served Elijah with all his heart. Such that when the king asked, who has the word of the Lord? He said, we know a man called Elisha. He poured water, a symbolic term, on the hands of Elijah, which means he served him faithfully. And he followed him through. Notice, as they were passing through, God of Jericho, before the God of Jordan, all the sons of the prophets stayed behind. He said, don't you know, why are you following this man? What are you following him for? Don't you know he's going today? The guy didn't answer them. What are you following for all this way for the following you are doing? And he's following. The man said, when he said, what do you ask of me? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit, which is the firstborn inheritance, to be the head of the prophets. And then he says, well, what you ask of me is very hard. If you see me, go. And he is there faithful. And do you know how you know he didn't do it for himself? As soon as I shared a bit of that in church today about Jordan, as soon as he left and the mantle came on him and he splits the Jordan, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's what he said. That's faithfulness. Nothing changed. He wasn't doing it for himself. Where is the Lord God of, he didn't say of Elisha. No, he said of Elijah. So he's letting everybody know, I'm wearing Elijah's ministry. That's a faithful person. He's loyal. Just like Joshua. Joshua said, this is the God of Moses. As Moses, the servant of the Lord. And I told you, he didn't use Moses to preach. To say, you know, Moses, you know, Moses could have brought us here, but you know, he's not the one that eventually came. You know what happened now? Should we get? No. He stayed with the fact that this is Moses' instruction. Loyal, faithful. Faithful people don't do otherwise when you are not there. Let me add one more. Faithful people will do in the service what they will have done if Jesus was seated in the front seat. Faithful people will do in the service what they will have done if pastor was seated in the service. Faithful people is not because you are there. In fact, they do things behind you as though you are seated there. It's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Reliable. Under every circumstance, this fellow is trustworthy. Look at what Pastor Somin shared with us at the Believers Convention. I told him I was going to make it a teaching, but everybody has the World Changers Conference, not anymore here. And we saw Timothy everywhere. Everywhere. You know, we can readily call Paul's epistles Timothy's epistles. Readily. Faithful. Faithful. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Proverbs 25 and 19. Proverbs 25 and 19. Let's read it together. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I've experienced it too. A broken tooth, it will be painful, it cannot chew. A foot out of joint, you can't walk with it, it will not go. He's there. He has a responsibility. You have made him a cell leader. He's there. His name is on the roll. He's HOD. He's there. He's a pastor. But he's like a broken tooth. We can't chew. We can't walk. But he's there. And anybody that tells you that what you do in the service of God has no consequence is deceiving you. There was a guy I told last year, I said, read my lips. Before you were born, I've been teaching about unconditional forgiveness. You were not born. Not born again. I said, before you were able to go to hell, I've been teaching the grace of God. Watch, read my lips. You will bear the consequences. It wasn't, didn't do anything to me. I just told, I said, hear what I've said very, very well. When you are serving God, you don't joke. God practically pressures lives. That's why I said it's been better if they hung on your neck and throw you into the sea than to cause offenses for these ones. That's what he said. Praise the Lord. Be faithful. Somebody from church came to me and said, you know, was making plans and all that. And I said, okay, you want to leave the country because that's the spirit. No problem. Have you thought about the people that you disciple? I said, I said, yeah, I was just thinking, listen though, I was just thinking, and since my fellow pastor knows them, you now get to the US or UK or Canada and you start to struggle in ministry. You wonder why. Your struggle is in Nigeria. You treated God's people like that. He said, my pastor should... very casually, I said, no. You ought to have been thinking about these ones. They feel that those things are just for saints' community. Just bring them, just dump them in the service. And say, yeah, we're changing lives. Until another opportunity changes you. No. No, no, no. No, no, no. 1 million times, no. You cannot think outside those people. And listen to me. Whatever you do to lives, right, is how God is going to see you. See me. I said this before. Lives are like treasure. Lives, like money. If you have 10 people, most of you who are cell leaders here, you have 20 people, 30 people under your care. Some of you have 40, 50. Some of you who are fellowship leaders have more than that. And you are just saying, let the light shine. You sang the song in the nation. You know what nations is? And then the same 20 people, you don't have time for them. You are very busy. You say, well, the nature of my job, you know, where I live. You've reeled up excuses enough for the whole Testament. And you are praying for increase. How would that come? Now, if you give somebody $100,000, this was the example I gave yesterday. And the guy to go and do business. They need to go and fry akara. Akara is bean cake. And the guy comes back and he says, you know, and when you are giving $100,000, I say, what's that song again? I have stepped into your world. I've looked into your heart. All I see is akara. And he's happy, oh! You gave me 100K. You gave me 100K. You gave me 100K. So I can have akara. And then, the guy gives you 100K. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month. You start sending texts. Sorry, eh? You know, there's COVID. People are not really eating akara again because they are wearing masks. 3 weeks after, hey, you know, beans is now expensive. Hey, you know, where's the 100K? We can't get 100K again. But to the glory of God, I know in the next 1 year I can get you 20K back. Very good. So you now come back, WCC. Oh no! I said for more, more. Okay, just close it. More. What do you want? If I get 1 million, we're changing lives. Anybody that gives you 50K is an idiot. Because look at your track record. 10 souls. Only one remaining. That one is your cousin. And you said you want more. More of what? More of what? Don't you know that lives are like an investment? For every life. Now, hold on. Do you know that the person who preached the gospel to you, right, invested, and that investment are your flock? The person that saw to it that you grew in the world and still seeing to it, is investing in lives that he doesn't know. Lives are like money. They're like money. So for every one person that you are changing his life, you are changing other lives. Now, look at the reverse case. For every one person that you are wasting his life, you are wasting lives. Every day, give reports on what you do about lives. You don't do it. Every day. And you give excuse. My data finished. There was no power. Blah, blah, blah. You are creating a path for yourself. That's what you are doing. You give all the reasons in the world. I keep saying it. If we say, I know you are not like that. You are faithful people. But if we say $1,000, $1,000 per soul, there will be no street left. That will cover the earth. Will happen in one month. $1,000, that means 10 souls, 10K. And you know, immediately you go into conversion. Conversion rate straight away. 100 souls. Pastor, why can't we do storm every day? That's a storm. There's something about souls. Souls. 100 souls, $100,000. That's 50 M. Why won't you win 100 souls per day? You will say, hey, you know, I get very tired in the evening. I'm not tired in Jesus. I have the strength of God. Hallelujah. Hey, the Holy Ghost is taking over. And it's one vision per day. What useless sleep am I sleeping? I'm for the Lord. Why? Because there's money. But those lives are money. They're expensive. Very expensive. One of those recently had this very troubling headache. And it was so troubling. Very troubling. And somebody in the room said, Pastor, what are you? I said, no. I know I should rest, but I'll be fine. He said, there's work to be done. I will look away from it and act like the word of God is true. But this job has to be done. Praise the Lord. Their lives. So who will commit? Jesus said, if you are not faithful with little, who will commit much to your hands? You know, sometimes you look at some, as it were, numerically growing churches, and you think, you know, it's because they are preaching false doctrine. You go and preach false doctrine, let's see. Go and try false doctrine. Are there not people preaching false doctrine at your backyard? And they meet in the morning, afternoon, and evening, and what makes them much is the bell. So I say, well, it's because we are using oil and mantle. Start using it. That's not it. That's not it. In many instances, you find people that are totally dedicated to what they are doing. Totally given to it. My dad told me, he said, success is planned. He said he got to school. He said he knew that, I said this to the Lord, that because I knew that he couldn't read over 1 hour. I knew my dad. He couldn't read over an hour. He said, because he knew that attention span of reading was just 1 hour. And it was in Ife. He said, he ensured that he read 1 hour 4 or 5 times a day. He read, he said, therefore, he cut short a lot of activities and he made a first class. He planned it. Same way in ministry. Your ministry cannot just grow because you are praying. You are praying and you are doing exactly opposite. It's like having a bullet and no gun to shoot it. You have all the bullets. You prayed. The armory is there, or the ammunition is there, but you're not using it. So look at God giving you 100,000, 10 souls, 5, 20, 100, 1,000. I told the pastors. I said, every soul that comes to our conventions, now we may not be able to account for those who come from other churches, we must give account of each one. I said, if we don't learn to do it with 10,000, we will not be able to do it with 100,000. Every soul with 100,000, we need 1 million. We must show accountability. We can't preach that for 10 people and ignore it for 1,000. No. So, how faithful are you? Faithfulness is the breath of ministry. That you are always at your duty post. Look up, guys. Let me say something. Are you aware that, look at me, please. The holiday period is not holiday for ministry. No, it's not. That is why I grew up saying, I don't take holidays from the government. I choose when is a holiday. Now, this is twofold. Because a holiday from the government is not a gift. It's not a gift. If you're a businessman and you took credit from the bank, it's running on the holiday. Sunday morning as you are praying, it's running. Oh Lord, I give you all a favor. Favor how? In ministry. One day I was coming back from the US and it was Christmas Day. I was in Dallas, was it that? Yeah. And Brother Pelumi was hosting me. So somehow we overhugged each other and I missed my flight. We're hugging and I said, I miss you. When are you? I did that with Femi too. Femi Adetumobi. We were hugging ourselves at the airport. We were greeting ourselves, doing like this. You were there now. Yeah? And we're doing like this. And I said, ah. So I said, Femi, I miss you. So we see, when I said, so, it was in London. And as I got to the station, I said, ah, which flight? I said, ah, you have missed it. I said, no. I said, look at my ticket. They said, no. Pay attention to details. There's one. I said, you can't do this too. You know, Nigeria, and I started telling the lamentation of Nigeria, you know, I have a program I have to attend. You know what I was looking at me? The other man? No grace. So I hugged the brother and I said, Christmas Day! I made observation because I like to observe. And I'm in the plane and I'm seeing, jingle bell. Security people were working. The planes were working. Air traffic controller didn't say, jingle bell. You know, and you know, to give a signal to the plane, jingle bell. Ha, do we not see that? Doctors are working, they are on call on Christmas Day. I said, oh, zero, yeah. Many Jesus have been born, and they're not using manger, and they are there on attention. Things are working around the clock. So the police are saying, Merry Christmas, please let me check your boots. Everybody's walking. So I told myself, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I must be alert. So you must be faithful with time. Faithful with alertness. In the things that you are meant to do. Praise the Lord. And there are things that will come to test you. To test that you are faithful. To test you. And some of us have failed the test. Remember when Eliab was to be anointed by Samuel, and Samuel said, oh, the Lord anointed is before me, 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said, no, it's not Eliab. I have rejected him. The Hebrew is like someone who failed the test. Hallelujah. You never know when the test is. God tests people. It is not testing so that you can fail. It's the way you test drive a car. You know what he said about Job? He said, have you considered my servant Job? What a boast. Have you considered him? He has integrity. That's test. James 1, 2. Just count it all joy when you come against diverse tests and trials. Said because the trial of your faith, hallelujah, it works patience. It works patience. He says, and that patience, when it has its complete work, you will want nothing. You'll be entirely wanting nothing. Nothing. So when you run from tests, you run from the character that you require to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. See, I don't run from tests. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Watch this now. This is Timothy. Paul saying to Timothy. He says in verse 13, for they that be that use the office of a deacon, those are the associates of the pastor, well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Now, how do they purchase for themselves a good degree? 1 Timothy 3, 10. Let these also first be proved. A version says, let them be examined closely. Other ones say, let them be tested thoroughly. Who, now look up, let me ask you. If Paul writes to Timothy that he should prove the deacons, who does the proving? Huh? Is he say the Spirit of God will prove it? No, you will do it. So in leadership, you open your eyes to moments to know people and their true character. He says you will know. It must be proven. 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, strive to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Look at it, approved. The same word there, tested.
tested. A tested person. A leader cannot be untested. No, he can't be. There has to be experience. The right kind of tests. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When the apostles in Acts 15 were going to send Paul and Barnabas to Asia, to the Gentile church, look at what they said about them. Acts 15. They knew they had been proven. Look at the Acts 15. Now I'm going to read to you verse 26. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know what that means? They put everything on the table. Say, we know these guys. We've seen them through hard times. They are not fair weather guys. So he said, listen to them. They have been proven. So leadership is not something you just emerge easily. No, you're tested, you're tried. And there are people, for example, who have joined this church and they ran away. You know why? They were trying to get visibility. Somebody told me like, I came here, you know, and the guy was getting very close to the pastors and getting, I was just looking at, you're in the wrong place. Wherever, even where you are coming from, you're archbishop. You pocket it when you get to the door here. You join membership class. We'll see you every day. We'll test you with operations department. Then you go to works. Then security. Praise the Lord. I told those who are singing, they are now in the operations, Abby. Those who are singing, they now wash toilet. Toilet. Glory. Yeah. We're going to extend it very soon. But I thought I'm just for singing. And go and work an album. People are proven. Did you come here to have position or to serve? If you are here to serve, anywhere they put you, you will serve. So when you test people, they come out either as Joseph or as Gehazi. Joseph was faithful. As the father's favorite son, who is he's doing Jolomi. He entered Potiphar, was a slave. Potiphar. See, when you are faithful, no circumstance changes you. He got Potiphar's house, he's faithful. Potiphar committed the whole place to his hands. That was why when the wife of Potiphar tested him, said, my husband will not know, said, doesn't matter. Said, I don't want to sin against God. Look at the high point of that faithfulness. And she came repeatedly, eventually tore his clothes and went to defame him. He still remained. He didn't get to prison and he's just grumbling. I don't know, after serving God, everything I tried to do, let me cuckoo. That's your revival. Let me cuckoo, finish it. What's the big deal? Let's plan prison escape. No, he didn't. Right there again. Some guys, he had a vision, a dream. I mean, someone can say a dream, pardon me. And they gave it to him. And he interpreted it. He wasn't bitter. And say, we dream. It's not a dream that got me here. Look, I'm not ready for all this ministry nonsense. That was when I was young. I don't have time. Now I just want to get out and live my life and move on. No. He just interpreted it. Faithful. 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 And the guy went back and didn't talk about him. He had been grumbling. No, he didn't. If you are going to handle a nation, you must know how to handle trouble. So he had learned how to handle difficulties. As soon as he got to Pharaoh's place, you see a man proven. He didn't get there and say, and then Pharaoh said, yeah, are you the prisoner? I'm sorry, I can't interpret your dream. Let's conditions. What do you mean? Ah, sir, it's conditions. I can't suffer like this and I just interpret you two, you just go. What are the conditions? One, they will release me. Two, that woman that lied against me, I want her head. Three, I want to go back home. No, he just interpreted the dream. And the man said, who shall I choose? Let God be the one doing it. He said, that will have this one, it has to be you.
You show that the Spirit of God is in you. And he was now in charge of the whole nation, including Potiphar's wife. Because when she needs indomie, she will line up. Say, Auntie Paul? Auntie Potty? Say, sorry, my Lord, don't worry. It is well. Give her indomie, macaroni, and all that. Let her go. Say, thank you, my Lord. He has learned it. When his mother came back, they were, see, his mother were so ass. They were scared. When he said, I am Joseph. Yay! I'm Joseph. Ah! Yay! So, sorry, you see, you were when you were young. When you know that they were really afraid. When the father died, hey! They now went to lie. They had to conjure a text message from his phone and sent it to Joseph. Say, I'm backdated it. And said, Joseph, my son, forgive your brothers. Don't do anything. Joseph said, you don't have to say this. I have forgiven you. What you meant for evil, which he said when he first spoke with them, said, God taught it for good. See the character of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness. No circumstance changes a faithful man. He is faithful. So tests will come. As a minister, you could be like Gehazi. Gehazi wanted something. He went after Naaman and he got leprous. He became leprous. Tests. See, look at me. God does not use men that he doesn't test. He will use you to test you so that he can use you for more. That's what he does. So, as I am right now, sometimes I look at myself and I say, this is God working something through me. He's building character. He's building strength, commitment. That's what he's doing. So, you can read meanings to different circumstances. See something as a trial for you, or see it like, oh, I'm tired. No, you shouldn't be. You have to be tested. And that goes also to all leaders. Don't use people you have not proven. Don't donate responsibility to people. Say, come on. No. Don't. Someone told me, said, Pastor, I'm gathering some people. And was trying to tell me, I have some people in church. I said, yeah. Go and do it in your zone. Submit your report to zonal pastor. Person became uncomfortable. I knew he was ambitious. Person doesn't come here anymore. Because that was the motive. So that pastor will notice me. I said, there is no way you can transform into a cell. You can't. You can't. And I tell your pastors, don't change the method. Don't. Let's see how you go. Let's look through what you do. Let's see it. Let's see it ourselves. We put you in the committee for camp meeting or believers convention, and the hostel is supposed to supervise, the whole thing went back. We are going to be looking at that. Why? You're supposed to handle the works department. You got there late. They matter. They do matter. You had 8 workers working with you. 2 of them remain. The other 6, we don't see them anymore. They matter a lot. We look back and say, you don't look like you're ready for this. So eye service can't take you far. No, it can't. Because one day to give. So you must be tested. And if you're a leader, I told the pastor, I said, test is by fire. You look for fire. Sometimes I just throw fire. Bah! So I will see. One time I told somebody, I said, sometimes you see, God will allow some fires so that those who cannot be with you in the promised land should not cross the desert. They shouldn't. They should not. So there are fires that you must have. You must have them.
be tested. Forget all these social media. I was telling a young pastor, I said, God doesn't give oversight by social media. Forget it, it's a lie. God does, there's no scripture to have oversight over people by the media. You are just fooling yourself. You'll be shocked that God is not going to ask you about anybody on your church page. They will be listening to you, following A, following B, following C. Is that pastoring? That's not pastoring. That's like going to go and watch a film. So, don't run from the test. Be faithful. Look at 1 Samuel 16 and 17. Look at David. You know, David was called the shepherd. And watch what happened. This is what I'm about to say. Jesus was given the name of David. I taught you that already. That's his name. Ezekiel 34. The name of Jesus is David. But look at David the shepherd. David the shepherd. The very first time we're going to hear about him in 1 Samuel 16. The very first time. When the dad said, Samuel said, are these all your children? He said, yeah. He said, no. Oh, there's one more. Notice, the first thing we heard about him, he is keeping the sheep. That is what was known of him till redemption. Say, I'm faithful. Say, I'm faithful. He's keeping the sheep. When he went to meet Goliath, and his brother Eliab said, what are you? He said, the few sheep. He said, I've left it in good care. He's faithful. When he went before Saul, and Saul said, who is the guy that says he wants Goliath? He's looking around. He's here. Who? You? What's going on? You know what he said about his experience? Sheep. He said, I'm a faithful shepherd. He said, when the bear and the lion came, he said, your servant went after them. God gave me the power. And I tore them into pieces. That means he didn't lose a sheep. So he mirrors the good shepherd. He's faithful. Faithful with a few. God, walked through the sheep. With David. Then he led the nation. Just like Moses. 40 years. Faithful with the sheep. Then God gave him Israel. So faithfulness must never be in your past. Faithfulness is what you are doing now. Lives are God's investment into other lives. So, you must know the value of what you are doing. You must know the value. The Word and the Spirit are your resources to multiply what God has given you. Say, I have the Word and I have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Word and I have the Holy Ghost. Those are your resources. The resources to manage lives. The Word. You preach, you teach, you act upon the Word, because you are also meant not to just be a preacher. You're supposed to be an example. 1 Timothy 4:12, an example to the believer. 1 Peter 5:3, example to the flock. Not to just be giving instruction right, center, left. No, an example. So your resources, the Word of God. You take the Word of God seriously. You see, there's a way, listen to me now. A leader listens to God's Word. A leader must have a second hearing. Because we are not just hearing for you are hearing for nations. So you are hearing well. You are paying attention. Someone I respect a lot said something to me. He said, I watched you over the years. I'll say, I said in Yoruba. He said,
Ofiarabale called doctrine. Now, I'm not trying to praise myself. You know, I don't do that. But I look back and say, yeah, I paid good and I still pay very good attention. You can't be listening like other people taking notes casually. No! These are your resources. If you mishandle it, that is why when we release books, nobody should compel you. You must get it. I was working, I would go to Martin Media after my Jerry Christians in the solo. It was in a corner like this. When you go past that or solo way, I will go into the corner. Then I'll say, when is Reverend Martin releasing the next books? Say, well, he's bringing a book by Kenneth Hagin at this point, bringing a book by Casey Price. I said, when is he coming? I'm talking about, I will have bought the books available. They'll say, in 2 weeks. I said, please book me down for one, for each one. So one time like that, then I began a book club. I was first number 5. I became number 3. In Nigeria, see, I was a teenager. I showed you, I put it on Facebook, my budget for books. I'll go to the Bible, buy books. Nobody will compel me. You know, then, I think one time we were talking about it. Amplified version was very rare. I will go to someone's house. The only place they have amplified version in Nigeria that I will know, I will sit down like I'll be taking, and I'll be copying out the amplified translation. I'll say, no, I just have 30 minutes for you. Hold on. Chapter 5 or 6. How we did it. You have to be that hungry. Books are out. You're not buying. This one, you know, now you can be downloading e-steps. There's a bookshop like that, opposite Deeper Life. I'll go there because this is where Reverend George's tapes, Reverend George Adegui, and Brother Hagin's tapes. I'll go there. There was no tape they had of those two preachers that I didn't buy. None. No. If I go to the bookshop, I clear all Copeland materials. All Hagin. It's not. And you see the guy buying it. There was a guy like that. I went to Christ Embassy. When I said I listened to Pastor Chris then. So I told the guy, it was a kiosk, a blue kiosk. And a guy, I said, I want all his tapes. The guy looked at me and looked at my slippers. He said, please, I don't have. He said, what's wrong with this guy? It was in 1994. I said, I want all his tapes. He said, do you know what you're talking about? Pastor has done over 200 tapes. I said, I want everything. He said, laugh. He said, you know how much it is? I said, I'm going to get it. I got everything. That's the dedication. You don't go halfway. No! You go all out! Everything. You don't sit one by and say, hey, you know, no. You get money, you get it. And not just get it and then put it in your shelf. Oh, this is our God. Is it your God? You start to study it. Start to study it. Start to study it. At some time, I now got books. I now began Living Word Correspondence. You know about it, right? Living Word Correspondence. I got a lot of books. Now I began to give believers to study. One of my first students was Pastor Precious. What's her son in Afuye? She's probably going to watch this. I'm talking about 24 years ago. I got the books and I began to give believers, ask correspondents, do questions so that they can study. As a student, yeah, you don't go halfway. So today, when you see how we are dedicated to study, it's not yesterday, it's not because we are preaching, no. No, it's just what it is. I got some people speak to me early November. They said, sir, help us review some of these materials. They are materials belonging to the denomination. And then they said, they are a bit much. I said, how many pages? They said, all together is about 1,800 pages. I said, give me 4 days. He said, did you say 4 months? I said, no, 4 days. The guy said, I was joking. In 4 days, I returned it and I reviewed it. He said, you read everything? I said, yeah. He said, they used to call you. He said, the guy who introduced me is a Ghanaian. He said, the guy's not a Nigerian, he's not an African. He said, he called you a name. I was wondering why now. And I said, Papa Lebo. You know, I said, no, it's just how I was taught. God spoke to me. I was in Buffet Grace's house, 1994. He said, do not follow people's results, follow their labor. It's the labor. What are they doing?
They are fasting and praying. Do it. What are they doing? They are giving their all. Do it. Not how they go in the pulpit. Hallelujah. Raise your hands to heaven. That's not ministry. Suit is not ministry. Of course, you wear it. And you see, there are correspondence. There was a time that I now didn't have money to buy the books. I was not doing photocopy. Photocopy. I got a lot of, there was a time I got up with the Higgins Bible study courses. I gave it to many people. Bosuri Ele was one of those people. You know him? I got those material. I gave it to so many people. I'll be teaching meetings like this. This is 1996, 1995. And I'll give the copies. Those in the audience will have those copies. Some will have photocopies. I'll be teaching from there. So what I'm telling you to do is not theory. If there's anybody you want to be like, it's your pastor. And I've just told you. Are you here? That's it. You give your all to get materials. When I first met Pastor Lai, she's watching me. The first thing I told her, I said, all your allowance, you're going to buy materials. That was the second week. Of course, my eye was on the ball, but I didn't tell her. I was just doing the work of the ministry faithfully. But I told myself, you will not get into trouble. She said, is there everything? Because she used to call me a pastor. He said, Pastor, is everything? I said, yes. I didn't say, it's not H-E-R-O, it's A-P-A-S-T-O-R. So I said, yeah, everything. He said, everything. I said, yeah. So what do I eat? I said, I don't care. Go get everything. Go invest your life. Because that is your life. So when you are listening to God's word, it's different though. When you are in camp meeting, when you are believers convention, when you are WCC, when you are like this in the church service, because you are listening for nations. So your resource is the word, the Holy Ghost, utterances, prayer. You take them personally, specially, because it's your life. Don't just hear utterance and say, glory, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When you are done in the service, now bring it out. What is God saying to you in Saints Community Church? What's God saying to you in Igado? What is God? You now begin to, it's not, exactly, forget that one. It's now time to put it to work, to practice. Because that is a resource for you. And whenever you notice God is repeating something again and again, it means you have not been doing it. The Word, the Spirit, your resource to multiply the investment of souls. So there are four things that are required of you. Before I get into that, in Romans 15, are you learning something? There are some of you, as you are listening to me, there's nothing I'm saying you have not done before. You have only stopped doing it. I know some of you when you were younger. You go all the way. Some of you used to walk to meetings. You walk in the sun. I saw you laugh yourselves. Now, you say your car broke down. Your car. Did you have car? You walk. Okay, now you didn't have the money, oh. You'll be in the sun. I know, some of you, I know you well. And I'll say, you're not feeling. There was a time in this ministry, you was almost a sin to say, I'm sick. Abi, you can't even say it outside. You just say, go and rest. Why? Because you believe that the next sermon, you're going to be the subject. So you are forced to practice divine healing. Say, oh Lord, please, sir. Say, don't worry. There was one brother like that, one of us there in the 90s. When they finished with him, he stopped getting sick. Because he's supposed to get a lot. Some of those brethren, well, you didn't meet them. Oh Lord. You shouldn't even have met them. They say, they mention his name. Are you not on yet? Your menstrual cycle. Hey, man, they mean, why have you not fallen sick? They say, no, you just hear, no, not yet. He hasn't 4 more days.
He having 4 more days. And he using 2 weeks. 2 weeks cycle. The guy started getting healed. Don't hold him too much in prayer meetings. Give him a break. He started getting healed. I'm healed by the power of God. You need better like that. Hallelujah. You get it? Now you. You say you can't go for follow. You know, I had this slight, just bodily. You know, Pastor said we should command the natural and the supernatural. So this is what I'm saying. You've done them before. You need to sing that song. I'm still that little boy. I'm still that little girl. You have not outgrown it. Then I think my car broke down. I couldn't get we used to do Bible seminars. Every environmental. Right? People will come in from different parts or your state or Ogun state, and they'll get there before 6:30. Environmental. And they'll lock themselves. Right? And when they have come for the meeting, they will now wait for me to give them their return ticket. They'll be sending different emissaries. Sir, it's just 10K left. We've actually tried. It's just 10K. It's just 10K left. You know? Now, sir, you know, Pastor, in the seminar on Saturday, I just want to tell you, sir, this is environmental, sir. No! These things I'm seeing, you've done them before. In the days of CDs, you will kill for CDs. Yeah. Only for men. What for? Okay, for okay. Why now? Boyo. That's Pastor Ayo. You see, really? You are laughing at your pastor. You know? And that's it. Now you have to download. You just put it on your phone. Put it on your phone. No. It's to listen to it. To put the headphones. Are you there? And you're feeling on it every time. Because those are your resources for ministry. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There are people I know in the world. I told someone, I said, Brother Tokes is one of the most consistent human beings I know in my life. He's annoyingly consistent. I've seen the same things. The first time I was going to meet him, CJ told me, she said, do you want to meet him? She said, stand in front of Tedder all 5 minutes to 12, he's going to pray in tongues fast. I said, how did you know? She said, that's just what he does every day. I said, So I stood in front of Tedder hall. That's what he got. Oh my God, I said, consistent. Why is he evil like that? I was sending myself meeting. He told me, he said, God sent me to India. I said, there's no Rema in India. He said, God told me. Years after Rema started in India. I mean, it's faithfulness. It's faithfulness, commitment, doggedness. And today, when we are talking, he reminds me of what I told him God told me. I remind him the same thing. Lest we overgrow God's will. Or outgrow it. So the first thing I want to share with us, Romans 15, and quickly because of our time. Paul says, or said, in verse 20, yea, so have I tried to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. That habit of taking people's church members, I know we don't have it here, must never be found in us. One of my disciples, the church he attends, are you well? Are you sure you are fine? One of the disciples, the church he attends, that's not your disciple. Your disciple is a fellow that was unchurched, unsaved, undiscipled. Not a guy you have dazzled with the word. No! A fellow you are mentoring. Not somebody you kidnapped. You are mentoring with the word. Don't join all these rubbish people do. Be using members, you know, what they call churchigenism. No! Raise people from the scratch. They could have even been believers before you met them. But believers with no square roots, with no roots. Unsaved, untaught, unchurched. That's your work. So four things and quickly. One, salvation. Four things required of you. Salvation. Four things you must do to your flock. They are saved through you. In Numbers 27 and verse 17, 2 to 18, Moses said, those that will lead your people in and out. In Ezekiel 34, the role of the shepherd, which you are, Ezekiel 34, he says, you will go and seek, verse 11, and search out the sheep. Say, I'm a soul winner. Say, I'm a soul winner. Say again, I'm a soul winner. So look up. If your venue is not full, it's because your soul winning is not on fire. When you see empty seats, it shows lack of passion for souls. Write what I said down again. When you see empty seats, it's lack of passion for souls. Listen to this now. If we decide to have, say, free food, or we call, this fellow, Wizkid, who was in London, he planned to do just a day. And the O2 Arena, one of the most prominent arenas in Europe. And they had to stretch it for 3 days. And people were there struggling. They increased the ticket fare and the ticket price. People were there. So I told myself, I said, truth of the matter is that there are people in London. If there are people in London, we just have to walk. If you call a concert, people will be fooled. There are people. There are people. So you win souls. Number two, you establish them in the local church. Now hear this. Listen to what I'm about to say. And I want you to inculcate this into all your workers. Look up, I want to give you a very clear instruction. It's utterly irresponsible for you to bring disciples. Now, firstly, you don't bring people to church. That is not your role. You come with your disciples to church. You're not bringing them to church. Their church attendance is part of your discipleship. Now hear this. It's irresponsible for you to come into the service and you are seated in front and the people you are mentoring are somewhere. No, you sit around the same area. Part of your work is to watch how they are studying, how they are praying. You are not here alone. Are you following what I'm saying? Utterly irresponsible. Now, pastor, I want to sit in front. Then you sit in front with you. If you, assuming we created a space, for example, for cell leaders in front. Let's assume. Naturally, and that's not even true in Yaba, the next seat, they can sit there. You come in just, utterly irresponsible. You now come with your friends. It will come off it! Your duty! You watch. Shagun, are you writing? Where? It's even an insult for your disciple to be in the service without Bible. What does that mean? Please, explain that to me. How? That's nothing. That means you are doing nothing. Because if the church attendance is an outflow of the discipleship, he knows that he's coming to service in continuation of what you are teaching him. Simple. So, do not delegate that job to the pastors. You are the pastor. Those who just come to service, just come, let's just go. That is not your job. And all your workers, all the workers in your unit, in your fellowship must know this. You are here with people. You sit us together. As you are worshiping God, Adonai, you watch, are you singing? Because it's called oversight. It is called oversight.
You pay attention to the mode of behavior. Everything. Don't forget how we started. Bad parenting will result into an unruly society. Same as bad pastoring. You are too busy to check. You are too busy to pray for. You are too busy to teach. You're going to have bad Christians. Well established in the local church. Number three. Now, this is very vital. You teach them daily. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a plan on how every day your flock feed on the word of God? Now, I'm not saying you have to see them every day. That's utterly impossible. But do you have a plan for all under you to feed on God's word daily? The work of the ministry is not for weekends. No. In Acts 20, Paul said night and day. Acts 20:31. He said night and day. He taught them night and day. Acts 19, verse 19 as well. Verse 9, I think. He says night and day. Night and day. It's not, we had a good time yesterday. He says night and day. Acts 19, verse 9. Daily. For the space of 2.5 years. Daily teaching. What are you listening to in your cell this week? What everyone listens to? Okay, hello, Kule. So have you listened to that series? You have to tonight. I'll call you back at 12. Follow up. The next time you see, yeah, tell me what you learned. The series you are listening to. We are listening to it. I'll come back. I'll check you tomorrow. That's what? Follow. Not, hope you are not forgetting we have church service on Sunday. Are you well? I know you don't do that. Hope you are not forgetting the Believer's Convention, though. Ah! You are inviting. You are inviting. You don't invite disciples. You inform them. And you come together. Some of you came for Believer's Convention. And you abandoned your disciples. That is careless. That shows how you pastor. That shows how you pastor. The fourth and final one. You minister to their needs. You minister to their needs. Acts 20. Paul says with his own hands in verse 34 and 35. He ministered to their needs. Do you know their names, their surnames, what they do, where they live? That's what I've asked them. You must create another record. I want to know the names of those in your church. Those who are members. Their names. Their dates of birth. Their age. Their occupation. Where they live. You must have those details. If you can't have it for 20, for 50, how would you have it for 1,000? That's pastoring. That's oversight. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's your work. That's your work. It's a daily work. Did you hear me? It's a daily work. Even when you are not there, you are pastoring. Even when you are not physically present, you are pastoring. It's a daily work. It's not a weekend activity. That when you are done with your office duty, okay, this is weekend. From Saturday, you have to run around the clock on Saturday. No! You have to create time. You create time for family. Because you have to create time for your family. The moment you are getting married, you must have family. And if there is family, you must create time for family. It just means that you have to cut off some things. Create time for family, for self, for your work, for your business, for your health, for souls, for church, for your pastors, for leaders. You are just busy. Why? Because men of purpose are busy people. I was in the house of one of Nigeria's billionaires. And I was there, in his office. And he was discussing going to Europe and America like you are going to Ikeja. He said, so we first get to Paris, I'll just pick up that stuff, then we'll get to New York. Should be back by tomorrow.
One time like that, I went to one of Nigeria's billionaires too. I mean, it's like, and they bought to me. So we're talking, I stayed in his office for so long, he was so busy. So he said, ah, bro, ah, we can't, he said, let's get to Ilorin. At about 10:30 p.m. And I can't say no. How would you say no? He said, let's get to Ilorin. I said, oh, okay, sir. Of course, my mind was, we'll get into the car, I will start going. I was talking about private jet. And we started talking in the jet. He got to Ilorin, he was doing a project there, and within 20 minutes, we're back in Lagos. That is, was done, we flew back in Lagos. The fellow who brought me to the place was in the car park. I said, I've been to Ilorin, he said, Pastor, Ilorin. That's how we saw it too. It's not even going to believe rapture. I said, we went, I came back. And the man, he decided me, he had other meetings. Pam, pam, pam. You know, see them owning big things. You see, they just sat down and were confessing. You don't confess success in ministry, or fruitfulness in ministry. No, you work. You are just busy. Are you clear? Some classmates of yours say, some of your classmates say, if you don't even see you, don't worry, you see me on TV. You see me on the pulpit. You see me in the right place. What do you want to see me for? We now get on the beach. Hello? I'm a man of purpose. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let us pray.